Well, let's ask our MLB analyst, Steve Phillips, who's on the line. Steve, what did you make of the Pivetta Kirk incident last night? What was your takeaway from that?
Yeah, I didn't think he was throwing at him. I didn't. I thought it was a ball up and in. You know, and Alejandro Kirk did not really do a whole lot to try to get out of the way of it, right? It led, you know, that's why, think about, you know, about 20 years ago, 2015, 20 years ago, the number of arm braces that guys wore, right? The arm pads, the protections, where the pitch was coming in, they would just lean into it and take the hit by pitch. Barry Bonds wore that thing all the time. And so I thought it was just a two-seam fastball that ran in. Pivetta's not a guy that is a headhunter in his career. And, you know, later in, I think the next at-bat that Kirk had, they set up away, and the two-seam and the fastball ran into the inner third of the plate. So he didn't have great command of that fastball last night, but I did not think that it was intentional at the time. But I also understand the response. I love how his teammates came to his defense. Now, it didn't have to escalate to on-field, but, you know, barking from the dugout a little bit's always a good thing. But I did not think that it was intentional. I really didn't. I think that Pivetta was just pitching his game. And in that moment, it didn't make sense to me why he would try to throw at him right there.
Steve, aside from the first game in this series, we've seen almost a rivalry developed of hatred in the last two games. And maybe that was a buildup of it. But to think that these games have gone down to the wire and the, you know, the possibility of these two teams potentially playing each other in the playoffs, do you like the fact that we're seeing a rivalry being built here with these two young teams?
Oh, for sure. I love it. I think that, you know, and here's the thing. The Jays have had the advantage on the field so far in the matchups in the series. They won the three series. They've played well against the Red Sox. The Red Sox have not fared well against not just the Jays, but any of the American League East teams. And so the intra-division games are going to be really what decides, you know, the standings and where everybody falls in and lines up in the seeding in the wild card race. I mean, the Yankees seem to be pretty clearly running away with the East, but everybody else, you know, they're going to jockey for position. And yeah, I think it makes sense. You've got young stars there that on both sides, a little more veteran experience on the Red Sox side of things. But I don't think that, I mean, I think it's just competitiveness. I don't really look at it as disdain. I mean, Pivetta thought that the Jays overreacted, and they may have a little bit. But I love that they reacted to come in support of Alejandro Kirk, because Vladdy knows how important Kirk is to what he's been able to accomplish this year. And so, you know, I love the rivalry. I think it's great for the game. It's great to have that when that team comes into town, we elevate our level of play. The fans recognize what a big series it is when the Rays and the Yankees and the Red Sox come into town to play. And so I think it's good for the teams. I think it's good for baseball to have these, you know, these sort of energetic and even at times a bit nasty matchups and rivalries that exist.
Another rivalry could begin tonight against the Tampa Bay Rays. Well, of course, we know there's the AL East rivalry that is pre-existing, but five games in 4 days between Toronto and Tampa coming up here in Toronto. And the bullpen situation, I guess, for both Boston and Toronto was a big problem over this series. But for the Jays, it was Phelps last night who takes a beating following the previous night where a bunch of guys took another beating. As far as the bullpen situation goes, and the anniversary of the Simber acquisition was yesterday, so Ross Atkins has shown a propensity for addressing the bullpen earlier in the season. How pressing a situation is this for the Jays?
Yeah, I think it's something they have to keep looking at. Obviously, with Yimi Garcia on the injured list, it takes another one of their arms out of it. So I do think it's an area where they're going to have to continue to look to try to address. It's an area you can certainly make more impact. There are tons of relievers that get traded every year. I mean, I think 1 year there are like 32 right-handed relievers that got traded. You can find relievers. They'll be able to go out and find somebody. It's not going to break the bank. And you know, they get Sergio Romo, at least bring a veteran guy in who's a slider happy right-handed reliever. We'll see what he has left in the tank. He was also the first guy out of the gate running onto the field. When things got a little tense, which I love, right? I mean, you got a new guy that's going to make himself part of the team right away. I think it's good stuff. So they'll address the bullpen. I think the bigger issue is, can they get one of those starters? You know, is it going to be Montas, who threw against the Yankees in a loss the other day? Luis Castillo, who was filthy in his game against Chicago, really dominating hitters. Now, Chicago's got some hitters you can swing, get some swings and misses. But, you know, They're going to get a starter, at probably, the Jays. They're going to add to that bullpen and fortify that as well. And I think they'll round out this roster. And there's some thought and talk that they're in on Andrew Benintendi, outfielder for the Kansas City Royals, who would come in and play left field primarily against right-handed pitching. His numbers are a bit more, you know, with the splits this year than they've been, where he's not hit left-handers nearly as much, which would allow Gurriel maybe to be able to platoon. And then they could always DH Gurriel if they wanted to do that. But I think that it's going to be interesting to see what they do. But there is some thought that they're in for the left-handed hitting outfielder as well as bullpen help and a starting pitcher.
Steve, what's also interesting is this Freddie Freeman development. Returns to Atlanta over the weekend, a very emotional return. And then the series completes, he fires his agent, and there's just news that is just dropping about his whole free agent experience. And the news shared yesterday was that his agent never told Freddie Freeman about the Braves' final offer because the agent didn't want him to sign it because he thought he could get him more money somewhere else. How outrageous is this situation that has developed in LA with Atlanta and with Freddie Freeman?
It's outrageous. And it's surprising because Casey Close, the agent from Excel Sports, is one of the more respected agents in the business. You know, with Derek Jeter's agent, he's had some, you know, Freddie Freeman. You get Derek Jeter and Freddie Freeman, you've got a high level of not only talent, but people that you're representing. And that's really the way Casey Close has been looked at in his career. Now, Excel Sports issued a statement in response. It was Doug Gottlieb, who, you know, former ESPN and now is the Gottlieb show, said that it was because the agent had not told Freeman about the final offer. Excel Sports came out and said, Doug Gottlieb tweeted a wholly inaccurate characterization of our negotiations with the Atlanta Braves on behalf of Freddie Freeman. We are immediately evaluating all legal options to address the reckless publication of inaccurate information. So I don't know that we really know everything that took place other than there must have been some miscommunication along the way because Freeman seemed surprised when the Olsen deal got done, from everything I understand, and that, you know, that deal was done before Freeman signed anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it did seem like he had some animosity to the Braves. Then when he and Alex Anthopoulos spoke, it seemed like it settled some of that previously. But it's still hard to tell exactly what happened with it. And the agent in agency has come out very strongly denying the report that Doug Gottlieb put out there about the characterization of how those negotiations went. So I think there's some wait and see on this.
Yeah, Doug Gottlieb. Didn't Doug Gottlieb get kicked out of university for, like, stealing his teammates' credit cards and using it and buying a bunch of things? And I don't know. I don't know how much I trust Doug Gottlieb.
And he's a basketball guy.
Yeah,
Doug's
like, come on.
He's a provocative guy, but he's an entertaining guy.
Well, that's it, Steve. And you know what it is? That's the problem with today's world and social media, is that Doug Gottlieb tweets something out and all of a sudden people are casting aspersions on the credibility of a guy like Close, who's been a great agent for years and years and years. I didn't believe anything Doug Gottlieb had to say. And I don't know, when I saw that, I was like, come on, that's not true. So, who knows, maybe it's somewhere
in the
middle.
Well, it makes sense. There is a way to make sense of it all, considering how emotional Freddie Freeman is. I mean, this guy's playing for the Dodgers now and is probably thinking and hoping that he was still playing for the Atlanta Braves.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. For sure. No, just for sure. I agree with you. And I think that there was definitely a miscommunication. Whether that happened between the Braves and the agent, or whether it happened between the agent and the player, there was a miscommunication within that. And I think that Freeman thought the negotiations were still going, while the Braves thought that they, when they had rejected or not responded to the hour deadline that they were given on two different offers, that there were no offers left on the table. And they thought, the Braves, supposedly, that Freeman had a deal somewhere else. And so they pulled the trigger on getting Matt Olson. So it is instructive in some ways for players to understand that when their agent speaks, it's them speaking, and that they should always be aware of exactly not only what words are coming out, but what strategy the agent is implementing on their behalf with the club, so that there aren't miscommunications, and that if you're gonna play hardball, or if you're going to, you know, play the game, you understand that the team can always go somewhere else. And so if you really want to play there, instruct your agent, don't blow up the deal. Don't over negotiate. Don't ruin this in any way. So get as much as you possibly can, but do not burn any bridges, because I want to end up coming back and playing there. And I don't know that that happened.
Yeah, and Freddie Freeman, 2-for-4 with a dinger last night in Colorado. So, I mean, maybe he's feeling a little bit better this morning. Steve, tomorrow is July 1st. It's Bobby Bonilla Day.
Steve Phillips Day.
I know we asked you this question. You've been a contributor on this show for many years. What does Bobby Bonilla Day represent? Can you take us through quickly what happened all those years ago and why Bobby Bonilla is getting a fat payday tomorrow?
You know, guys, I have some laryngitis I'm starting to come down with right now, so I'm not sure I can. So you know, we were going to release Bobby Bonilla at the end of a season, and he had about $6 million left on his contract. And the owners were like, well, he's taken, you know, in his first deal with the Mets back in 92, by the way, he's still collecting deferred comp on that deal now, $500,000 a year, in addition to the 1.149673247729.
Wow, you know it out of my heart.
Yeah. It's like pie. It never ends. It never ends. The number never stops, and it never ends for me either. So they knew that he had some inclination to deferred comp. So what they said was to me, go to the accounting department and see if they can crunch some numbers with Bernie Madoff as to how they can make money on Bonilla's money. Let's defer it out 10 years, then pay it out over 25 years and make money on it so that it's an investment vehicle for us. I'm like, I'll go out. So I went to the accounting department. They talked about it. They came back with different iterations, because when the market was making 6% or 8%, Madoff was again, and we all know that it was a scam, right? That it was a Ponzi scheme. But Madoff was professing 18% earnings. And so they projected, there were a couple of projections that said that on his $6 million, if it were spread out, waiting 10 years, then paid over 25 years, that the Mets would make $65 million on his $6 million. That's still while paying him out his $29 million that he's going to get, over the 25 years. And so it was an investment vehicle in the Madoff fund. And so we made the deal with him, giving him 8% interest on it. And he made out like a bandit. The market hasn't always been that good, and certainly right now he's making out great on it. And there you have it, the Bobby Bonilla story.
Yeah, well, Freddie Freeman, by the way, you can thank Freddie Freeman, because he's the new Bobby Bonilla. $5 million till year 2039.
Yeah, the other thing to tell you is that on my birthday, which was May 18th, on my show on MLB Network Radio, my co-host got Bobby Bonilla to call in.
And
I'm like, yes. I'm like, dude, I'd save on the phone call if you sent me a gift. I mean, my gosh, like, you'd think you'd remember me at my birthday or the holidays somewhere along the way.
So, Matt, you're Bobby Bonilla waking up tomorrow just staring at the ceiling. First thing you think, thank you, Steve.
He should have a big painting of Steve Phillips' face in his house.
Well, I can give him mine.
I love this
guy.
Thanks,
Carl.
I love this guy.
I really appreciate that.
Steve, thank you for this. We appreciate it. Always love the story of that one. Incredible. And, you know, enjoy Bobby Bonilla Day as much as
all right. Tomorrow. Thanks, guys. Appreciate
See
it,
you, buddy.
That's MLB analyst Steve Phillips. Oh, man. I need that deferred contract salary. That's how you really live it up in life. And think about it, like, even in hockey, like Vinny LeCavalier had, like, what, he got bought out and it spread over a number of years, and he gets signed, I think it was by the Flyers.
Philly. Yeah, $20 million over 5 years.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, okay, I'll take that double dip. Thank you very much. But, yeah, for Freddie Freeman getting paid to 2039, that's also very nice. But not as nice as Bobby Bonilla. I believe he gets the 1 point whatever million from the Mets until into the 2030s as well. So he's got a long way to go. Shout out to Bobby Bonilla. That, in retrospect, and Steve's explanation of the Mets' rationale is so convoluted. It makes no sense at all. 8%. It's like, oh, that'll always be how it is. 18%. Yeah. I mean, that's always how Bernie Madoff's going to produce. Yeah, it's like the people who believe Bitcoin was going to a million. Maybe it will at some point, but there's going to be the ups and downs, no doubt. Yeah. We'll welcome in our producer, Arad Asbandi, for the Morning Scroll on the Other Side, plus Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, at 7:45. Darren Dreger addressed what Jack Campbell could be looking for in free agency. It's a big ticket. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show, but Arad joins us next.